He was the youngest of seven children. In school, his mind often wandered, and thus ended his 3 months of official schooling before being homeschooled by his mom. Later in life, he recalled, and I quote, "My mother was the making of me. She was so true, so sure of me, and I felt I had something to live for, someone I must not disappoint." He loved to read, he loved to experiment, and he loved to invent. And God so blessed him with an entrepreneurial spirit that he was willing to take risks, he was willing to ask questions, he was willing to explore uncharted waters. And then on December 31st of 1879 in Menlo Park, he made the first public demonstration of his incandescent light bulb. It was during this time that he said, "We will make electricity so cheap that only the rich will burn candles." And we're speaking of none other than Thomas Edison. So when you think of the light bulb, you automatically attach it to Edison. And yes, he is credited with the mass production of the incandescent bulb that even to this day we are benefiting from. He strategically mass produced and distributed electricity. And so when you think of the light bulb, you think of Edison. But you cannot attribute light to Edison. When it comes to light, you have to go all the way back to not Edison, but Elohim. In Genesis 1 and 3, where the Bible says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." I remember when Pastor David mentioned in one of his messages that we believe in the Big Bang Theory. That when God said, "Let there be light," there was a big bang, and there was light. So God is the originator of light. Light is characteristic of God. The Bible says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Then we move from Edison to Elohim to, in the New Testament, we're introduced to Emmanuel, where the Bible says in John 3:19, this is the verdict, light, capital L, has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. I want you to think about tonight how old you are, and you think about your birth date, and some of you may be over 50, some of you may be under 50, some of you may wish you're over 100, and maybe God would so allow you to live to be over 100, and whatever your age is, whatever your stage of life is, when you were born into a world of darkness. When you were born into a world that was steeped in sin, shaped in iniquity. You were born into a world that is anti-God, anti-Christian, and does not have the heart of God. You were born into a world system that has an agenda that is contrary to the agenda of God. You were born into a world of darkness. But tonight I want to talk about how to be light in this dark world that we live in. Yes, we live in a fallen world. Yes, we live on a broken planet. But I've got good news tonight. God has called us to be light in a world filled with darkness. And I want to know tonight, are you up for this? Are you willing to go there? Are you willing to say, "God, I want you to use me for your honor and glory. I don't want to waste my life. I want to invest my life in that which has eternal implications and eternal application. God, would you help me to be a light in a world of darkness?" If you'll turn with me to John chapter 8 as we look at our second I Am Staying of Christ in this second installment of our series, Clarity, Erasing Ambiguity. It's very important for us as believers to know who Jesus is, his true identity, and then who we are in Jesus. Because I want to tell you what's good about you. Jesus. Now look to the person next to you and say, I'm better because of you. Go ahead. Don't be too shy. I'm better because of you. Look to your other neighbor. Go ahead and affirm them. Now look back at them and say, but I am who I am because of Jesus. Don't ever forget who you are in Jesus. In John chapter 8, verse 12, we're introduced to the second I am saying of Christ. And when you're there, would you just say amen? Amen. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus announces, I am the light of the world. As we look at these steps to being light in a dark world, let me give you step number one. Here's the first step. Receive the light. That's where it begins. Receive the light. We're introduced in John chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, where we are introduced to John the Baptist. And there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John, John with a B. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all men might believe. He himself, John, was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light, say that with me, the true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. And then Jesus announces here in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. Now, I want you to dial into the context here in John chapter 8. I just love how God's timing is impeccable. When Jesus makes this bold declaration, I am the light of the world, you need to understand the backdrop of his pronouncement. Jesus is standing in what is known as the temple courts, the court of women. It is the second most outer court next to the court of Gentiles. Jesus is there where he would have noticed the 13 receptacles where the treasury was. So if you were to come to give your alms, you would go to one of those receptacles. I already preached on that. And it's when the widow gave her 2 mites, which was worth less than a penny. And Jesus said, she's given more than all the rest because out of her poverty, she gave all she had. Well, that's where she entered the court of women and went into one of those 13 trumpet-shaped receptacles to place her offering in. So there is Jesus. Not only is this a very unique setting for him where there would be a lot of traffic, it would be almost like being in the food court at the mall where there's a lot of people, a lot of stirring. And so here Jesus is making this bold declaration in the midst of a lot of people and a lot of movement. But there's another significant factor to John chapter 8. It's during the Feast of Tabernacles. It's when in Jerusalem the Jews would come to town to celebrate the remembrance of when God revealed himself in provision. A pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. It's how God led them, how God revealed himself to them, how he revealed his direction and his leadership and his provision. And so they would come to Jerusalem to celebrate all that God had done to lead them to the promised land. So in that setting, in the busyness of that temple area, Jesus makes this bold declaration, I am the light of the world. Had you been a Jew on that day and you came to participate in that Feast of Tabernacles, what you would have noticed in that same area were 4 candelabra that were vibrant, that were dynamic, that were large, and literally shooting light up as though a searchlight into the sky at night. And it would draw attention to that area, reminding people of how God led them with a pillar of fire. So here Jesus is articulating his true identity in the midst of this Feast of Tabernacles. When people are coming to affirm the past, what God did in the Old Testament, what God did with their ancestors. And yet Jesus declares, don't put your faith any longer in the oil lanterns here that are projecting light. This is not what it's all about in this arena. It's not about the 13 trumpet-shaped receptacles. It's not about these 4 candelabra. It's not about what you're seeing penetrating the sky from this light. No, I've come to announce I am the light of the world. Now that was a bold pronouncement because it so crossed the Pharisees. It crossed the religious leaders because for Jesus to say, I'm the light of the world, was to equate himself with God. And that didn't sit very well with them, as you can imagine. Jesus claiming to be God, to be Israel's Messiah, sent by God as a light to the nations. And there's major conflict in chapter 9. And it only escalates in chapter 8. And it only escalates in chapter 9. Now what happens in chapter 9? There's a man born blind whom Jesus touches and heals. Remember that encounter? You don't have to look at it. Let me just highlight it quickly in John 9, 10, and 11. After his healing, he was asked by the people, how then were your eyes opened, they demanded. And this blind man, who had now received his sight, replied, the man they called Jesus, he didn't know much about him. The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Well, that generated a little turbulence in that area. The religious leaders were not very happy about this encounter. They were more upset about Jesus doing a miracle action on the Sabbath. They were so steeped in legalism that they bypassed the reality of the activity of God in their midst. A miracle. A man born blind who receives his sight. They couldn't celebrate. They couldn't get excited about that because they were so shrouded by the layers of their legalism. In 9:25, he replied, whether he's a sinner or not, the man speaking about Jesus, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. They were so fired up about his little comment, they churched him. You know what that means? They kicked him out of the synagogue. Now, that was no small thing in Jesus' day. If you were kicked out of the synagogue, an employer wouldn't hire you. You were seen as a threat to society. You were seen as a rebel. And no employer would dare go against the synagogue and the religious leaders. So it would be hard for you to get a job. And here this man receives his sight. He's healed, been delivered, and now he is churched. He's thrusted out of the synagogue. Now just imagine, here's a guy who can now see, is dejected by rejection. Now I want you to look with me in your Bibles to John chapter 9. Verse 35, this is so good. This ought to preach. This ought to be shouting ground. If you ever get to a place in your life where you think there's no hope, I want you to read this. John 9:35. When you're there, say amen. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said, oh, this is so good. You have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. You know what you call that? A life-changing experience. You just thought when the man who was born blind could now see the colors in the sky, that he can now see people and their movements and their facial expressions. No, that's not the miracle. The miracle is this man who was lost is now found. This man who was disconnected from God, an enemy of God, who is now a child of God. Because this man was willing to receive the light. And I'm not talking about a light bulb. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. This man placed his faith in Jesus and he received the light. If you'll write this in your notes, it's so ministered to me today. John 12:46. All this is so rich. Jesus getting real personal with us. He said in John 12:46, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Oh, isn't that a wonderful word? Don't stay in darkness. Come out of the night into the light. Now, maybe tonight you're on the fringe. You say, there's no way Jesus would receive me. There's no way Jesus would accept me. I've done too much. People have no idea what I've done. Jesus knows. And he still went all the way for you on the cross so that you could be set free, so that you could come home to him. And so I want to challenge you tonight, receive the light. Stop putting it off. Stop playing games with God. And you better stop gambling with eternity. And you turn your life toward Jesus. You stop running away from Jesus and you start running to Jesus. And he'll be there with arms wide open. Remember what we learned last Wednesday night? You come to Jesus. You come to Jesus because he's already paid your sin debt in full. He's already purchased your salvation. And it's the gift of eternal life. Why would you turn it away? Why would you ever gamble with eternity when Jesus has already provided the gift of eternal life? All you have to do is receive it by faith. And this man who was born blind received his physical sight, but greater than that, he received his spiritual sight because he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive the light. Then step number two, walk in the light. Not only receive the light, he's the light of the world, receive him, but then walk in the light. In John 8:12, Jesus expands this concept of I am the light of the world. And he talks about practically how to follow him. Watch this in John 8:12. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. I remember as a student at Louisiana College, I would catch Dr. Charles Stanley on the radio. And then when I went on to seminary, where Pastor David and I met, I would listen to him as well on the radio around noon when we'd go to lunch and hear Dr. Stanley, one of my heroes. And I remember Dr. Stanley talking about, now there's a difference between believing in Jesus and following Jesus. Now that's startling, isn't it? Because you'll meet a lot of people who say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. And then you ask them, well, have you grown in your relationship with Christ since believing in him 20 years ago? Well, no. I got my fire insurance. I'm going to heaven. I'm good. But you're still sucking a spiritual pacifier. You're still wearing spiritual diapers. You're still drinking milk when you ought to be on the meat of the word. You're a believer. You believe in Jesus. You believe that he's God's son. You believe that he died on the cross for your sins. You believe he was buried in a borrowed tomb. You believe 3 days later he rose from the dead. And you believe 40 days after that, he ascended back to the Father, and then he sent the Holy Spirit. You believe in Jesus, but I'm asking you, are you a follower of Jesus Christ? What I really want to know is, are you growing in your love relationship with Jesus? When Jesus said, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, here's the portrait he's painting. If you are following Jesus, he will never lead you into darkness. If you are following Jesus, he will never lead you toward sin. And to be a follower is more than just, I believe, or I'm watching at a distance. It means that I'm going to emulate him. I'm going to do what he does. I'm going to walk with him. I'm going to talk with him. I remember in a fantastic message on Jesus as a rabbi and talked about how in the first century, whenever a disciple would link up with a rabbi, it was an honor to follow that rabbi. And wherever he went, you would go. If he went into the desert, you would go. If he went into a little side restaurant, you would go. If he went to the restroom, you would go. You were so connected to your rabbi. And if you ever had someone say this over you, it was a blessing when they would say, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. I want you to look to your neighbor and ask him, are you dusty? Go ahead. Are you dusty? I want to know tonight, are you dusty? I'm not asking, are you sinful? I'm not asking about your lifestyle. I want to know, do you have Jesus all over you? Are you covered in your rabbi's dust? Not just believing on him, but that you're walking with him, you're fellowshipping with him, you're communing with him, you're so connected to Jesus that wherever he goes, you go. Whatever he does, you do. Whatever he speaks, you speak. Whatever he believes, you believe. Whatever he says, you obey. Covered in the dust of your rabbi. Luke 9:23, Jesus said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So it's an invitation to move beyond just believing in Jesus to following him, to walking in fellowship with him. And I love what 1 John 1:6-7 says that Pastor David's going to be preaching on Sunday morning. It's going to be so fantastic. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, say that with me, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, purifies us from all sin. What is the word of God teaching? You cannot fellowship with darkness and fellowship with Jesus simultaneously. You cannot walk with Jesus and flirt with sin and say, I'm walking with Jesus. Because if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then you will never go where he is not going, and you'll never do what he is not doing. Step number three. Not only receive the light and walk in the light, it's relationship, it's ongoing, it's growing, it's productive, it's progressive, but reveal the light. Reveal the light. No, I just want to get saved and go to heaven. Now, God wants to save you, and he wants you to have eternal security. But God also wants to fellowship with you by his son, Jesus Christ, and wants you to walk with him and grow in him, but then move beyond that. It's not just to abide in him and remain in him and stay connected to him. You don't stay connected so that you get spiritually fat. You stay connected so that you can reveal the light. Reveal the light. Jesus says in John 8:12, whoever follows me will have the light of life. Whoever follows me, whoever is in relationship with me, will have the light of life. Now, when you think of light, what do you think of? How about this? Maybe a candle. Think about a candle. And we're not going to turn the lights off, but if we did, would you be able to see these flames clearly? Would you be drawn to these? You would probably want to come up here so you could see your Bible. You'd want to get closer because this light would pull you, it would draw you. And it's being revealing. The light is revealing. And we're not only to receive the light, we're to walk in the light, but then we're to reveal the light. And when we choose to reveal the light, we're not revealing who somebody else is. We're revealing who Jesus is. We're light bearers. We are made in the image of Christ, and we're being conformed into the likeness of Christ. And as we walk through this dirty, dark, dreary, decaying world, we are to reveal the light of Jesus Christ. We have the light of life, not the light of death. We have the light of life. If you look up a definition on dictionary.com for light, what you'll discover is light is something that makes things visible. Something that makes things visible. If you've ever searched for something in your home at night, you would probably turn on the light. You want to see it. If it's under your bed, what do you have to go get? A flashlight. I need a flashlight. I can't see this. If your electricity ever goes off while you're walking through your home that you're very familiar with, and it goes pitch black, it now becomes like a foreign land until somebody brings a light. So a light is that which makes things visible. Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus speaking, you are the light of the world. Wait a minute, Jesus, I thought you said, you pronounce, I'm the light of the world. It's all about you. Yes. But now I'm in heaven. And I've empowered you as my body. You are the light of the world. He goes on to say, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. And it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. Now, it may bother us. Why men? Because men need it the most. It's men who are in darkness, men who need to get saved, men who need to get right with God. It doesn't take as much for the women because they're so tender, they're so teachable, they're so open, they're so receptive. And nobody said amen. Y'all better come on. You're going to be in trouble, especially if you're sitting next to your wife or a woman. You better say amen, brother. Preach it. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds. Notice, they're going to see your good deeds. They're going to see the radiance of your life. But it's not to give you glory. It's to praise your Father in heaven. So what's the takeaway? Here's what Jesus is saying. You are the light of the world. Therefore, let your light shine. Well, I just don't want anybody to know about my relationship with the Lord. I don't want anybody to know that I'm walking in fellowship with Him. I don't want anybody to know that I'm having a daily quiet time and I'm fervent in prayer and I'm practicing His presence. You know, that's so private. Where in the Bible does it say your walk with God is private? It's saying when you're giving, don't announce to one hand what the other hand's giving. In other words, don't go public with, I'm giving this gift. Everybody look at me, because you receive your reward in full. Everybody claps and say, wow, you gave $5. You're so wonderful. Right? But the Christian life is not to be lived in a cave. The Christian life is to be open and overt and obvious that you're in a love relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not that you're to be a secret Christian. This is not the secret service. God has called you to go public in your faith and to be obvious that Jesus is Lord of your life. Philippians 2, 14 through 16, I won't read it. It has this wonderful concept. You are children of God. Shine like stars in the universe. It's hard to detect that in the city of Houston with all the lights, the illumination of our wonderful city. But you go out in the country where there's very little light, very minimal electricity. And you get out in the open field and you lay on your back and you look up to the stars in the universe. You'll be blown away by the splendor and the majesty of God. And what Paul's telling the church at Philippi, you're children of God. Shine like stars in the universe. Now, here's what Jesus would probably say in our vernacular today. Knowing that you are the light of the world, that it's now our assignment to be light bearers. Maybe it's this way. We are bonfires for the bread of life. Maybe we're candles for Christ. Maybe illuminators for Emmanuel. Maybe light bulbs for the Lord. How about that one? I tell Tori when she's driving out the driveway, sometimes when I see her pull out, I'll do this. And that's not a Charlie's Angels sign. It's not two pistols. It means two things. You're a leader for the Lord, then you're a luminary for the Lord. Don't you forget, though you're going to this campus, don't forget who you are and whose you are. You're a leader for the Lord. You're a luminary for the Lord. And I'm praying that God will give you a love for learning. Let's go light our world. That's what God has assigned us with. That's what God has entrusted us with. We are to go light our world with the love of Jesus, with the compassion of Jesus, with the humility of Jesus, with the servitude of Jesus, with the gentleness of Jesus, with the selflessness of Jesus, with the clarity of Jesus. Let's go light our world by shining His light, by sharing His love, by mending broken hearts, by extending personal touch and ministry, by serving the less fortunate, by encouraging the distraught. By staying clean while living in a dirty world. Let's go light our world by extending forgiveness, by practicing instant obedience, by maintaining intimacy with God, by loving what God loves and hating what God hates. Let's go love our world and light our world by setting our hearts on things above, by setting our minds on things above, by guarding our hearts, by rescuing the perishing, by caring for the dying. Let's go light our world by interceding in prayer for the lost, by investing in the lives of lost people, by inviting lost people to the church, by going public with our personal testimony, by giving financially to the Lord's work as you've done so faithfully, by making ourselves available for God's use, by being responsive to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and by living in light of eternity. There is life beyond the grave. What you see in the here and now is so temporary. It's so temporal. It's so fickle. It can change in a moment. God did not create us for time. God created us for eternity. There's more beyond this life and beyond the grave. Let's go light our world by believing that lost people go to hell, by believing that saved people go to heaven, by believing that Jesus is the only way. Larry King, bring it on. Jesus is the only way. By believing that salvation is found in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to men and women whereby we must be saved. Let's go light our world by believing that people matter to God, by believing that God is not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Let's go light our world by not being ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. Let's go light our world by standing up while others choose to sit down, by speaking up when others choose to shut up, by advancing while others choose to retreat, by confronting evil, by embracing a lifestyle of moral purity, by erasing ambiguity and embracing the consistency of who Jesus is, and let his true identity be reflected in our new identity. Are you going to join me tonight and go light our world by unleashing the good news of Jesus Christ, by reaching the lost at any cost until every person on the planet has a personal love relationship with Jesus Christ, until every person has been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and placed in the kingdom of light, until every knee has bowed and every tongue has confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So let's stop majoring on the minors, and let's stop minoring on the majors. Let's stop allocating our time and energy and resources to that which has no eternal value. And let's stop wasting our lives on the pursuit of temporary happiness. If you want to get happy, go eat a bag of M&Ms. You go get some Bluebell ice cream, and it's going to be temporary, but it'll give you a sugar charge that will rock your life and knock your socks off, and your blood sugars will be skyrocketed. You'll become numb, comatose, and then you'll get over it. Then you'll recognize how temporary that pleasure was. And it's time to move beyond that and start investing our lives in the eternal destiny of every person created by God and for God. What I'm trying to say tonight is let's go light our world. Amen. Now let me give you the point of clarity. Here it is. Unless we reveal the light, others will be unable to receive the light. If they don't receive the light, they will be unable to walk in the light. If they don't walk in the light, they will be unable to reveal the light. So make Jesus visible. I just wonder, what are you going home to tonight? What are you going to tomorrow? Is there any darkness in your life? Are there any people in your sphere of influence who need the light of life that God's given you in Jesus? What will you do with the light God has given you? What will you do to go light your world?
We hope you enjoyed the message today and that it'll be a source of encouragement to you this week. We desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. It all begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Have you placed your trust in Christ? Well, no one can get to heaven by being good enough. We all have to trust Jesus Christ alone for forgiveness of sin and a home in heaven. For more information on this unique life in Christ, as well as more information on Champion Forest Baptist Church, we invite you to go to our website at championforest.org.